Today's episode of the Meet & Greet Barbecue podcast is brought to you by AOS Outdoor Kitchens. They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.
So in from the Meet & Greet Barbecue podcast, today we've got a special episode where myself and Dan are down at AOS Kitchens with Jody, and we've got Marco from Della Vita. So throughout this episode, we're just going to be doing some cooking, which you'll see on the AOS Kitchen YouTube channel. You'll see things going across our socials. And also, we're going to be just having a chat as and when we go through this episode. And please enjoy, and we'll see you again soon.
So, yeah, it's nice for us because we didn't really have a chance to round up and finish off season 5 and say thank you for listening to everything we put together, did we, O?
No, season 5, I think we're probably the most proud of in that it was our longest running season, best part of 20 episodes. Again, had some fantastic guests as always, really, really interesting conversations, some really funny conversations. And we got some absolute great bloopers, especially from Nat at Northern Grillers. So yeah, it was really, really fun. But also just a thank you to the listeners. We actually had our highest rate or highest downloads in a week and in a month, everything for season 5. So we just, wanted to say thank you everyone for listening. Anything else?
On that point, what I'd love people out there to do, if you want to hear some of those bloopers, is put posts up on Instagram or even message and tag Nat in from Northern Grillers saying, please, please, please let the boys edit up and release the blooper reel, because there's some gorgeous stuff on there. So, so funny. I mean, I was crying with laughter just trying to edit the thing. And that's without saying how much Nat was crying with laughter when we were actually doing the recording itself. So we'd never put anything out without permission. So if you would like to see some of that, give her a cheeky tag, get us in, and maybe we might be able to put some beautifully funny stuff out there on YouTube and as little podcast records as well. Also, it'd be great to hear from you about anything different that you'd like to hear from us for Series 6. We're going to have a bit of a pause because, sadly, my podcast recording area is taken up by my son, who's now 11 months old, so it's difficult for us to record, but I'm in the process of moving. So give us some ideas of what we should be putting together for the next series, because the longer run-up we have, the more items we can put together for you. Something a bit more bespoke and different, right?
Yes, absolutely. So by the time this comes out, we'd have already had a few months break. Again, we've already had a couple of people kind of asking us when the next season is, and don't worry, we're trying to work on it. Dan's obviously got to move house, but yeah, we want to come back bigger than ever. We want some fun, you know, we want to get some guests that we've not spoken to before, perhaps some revisits to people that have, and see where they've gone from the first time that we've spoken to them, because we're nearly 3 years into this podcast. So it would be good to catch up with some old faces as well.
And also a huge thank you to Jody from AOS Outdoor Kitchens, supporting us as we're putting these podcasts together, being a partner with us, sponsoring the episodes for a number of series now. And also he allows us to come down here and record things actually down at, do you want to call it head office? What would you call it? Their warehouse? It's great to be doing different cooks here, and also the chance to actually speak to people in person. As you've probably seen on YouTube, most of the bits we're doing is over, well, the internet, right? So it's good to get out and about, but big thank you to Jody as well and everything he's done to support us over the years. So we're down at AOS Outdoor Kitchens at the moment with Marco, who's doing some cooking on the Della Vita. So he's going to be doing 3 courses. So first off, he's charring up some peppers with some capers on the actual coals themselves, which would be a fantastic starter. He's going to follow that up with some salmon that actually is going to be smoking in the oven by closing the door and getting all of those beautiful flavours up through the salmon. And then finally, he's doing these beautiful Christmas bites. So brie, breadcrumbs, a bit of cranberry, and just joyful. So I can't wait to see how these come out. Also, we did some cooking ourselves this morning, didn't we? What did we do?
Yeah, so we decided to start the day off with some breakfast cook. So we fired up the Kamado and cooked sausage patties, eggs. We did a frittata. And it was a really good start to the day. So again, you'll see some information and some pictures all up on our socials. But yeah, a nice start to the day to get a breakfast cook going. And we're kind of getting into the Christmassy spirit here with, as Dan said, the smoked salmon, the Christmas brie bites, and a really nice starter, which is different to perhaps what we would normally have around Christmas. So, we'll talk to Marco as he starts cooking. And, So, Marco, obviously, we've just sort of said that you're going to be cooking a few bits on the Della Vita with us today. So you start with the peppers, right? Do you want to just kind of give us a bit more about what's happening right now?
Cool. So basically what we're doing, we're cooking the peppers in the straight on the embers of the fire, which is really cool. And is I've been doing it more and more recently to cook stuff on, instead of the cast iron dish, straight on the embers. And it's actually, it's quite addictive, you know. The more you do it, the more you enjoy doing it. There's something primitive about it, which is really... And anyway, so we're doing the pepper. Then it's really simple. We just did a little mash up of parsley, capers, garlic, olive oil, sea salt and pepper and chilies. In Italian, you call it trito. I don't know how you call this in English. How do you call that? How would you call it?
Finally chopped.
Finally chopped, anyway. In Italian, he has an actual... And then we just slice... We have to clean the pepper when we take them out because they're all charred. We clean them, and then we slice them, and then it goes all together on our plate, and it's a fantastic starter.
So for everyone that's listening to this, I can't tell you how incredible the pepper smells on the embers, because you're kind of getting a charred, but also a sweet smell. So really, really looking forward to how this turns out. And so... It's obviously crispy on the outside.
That's gonna go.
You're not gonna use that bit.
That's gonna be cleaned with our. Now we let it get cold, and then we're gonna clean the black bay with our hands.
Yeah.
And you're just gonna be pepper underneath. Yeah. So the chard is going, and it's cooked, but it cooks in minutes like that, straight on the coals. Yeah. And then we just put it all together, and it's delicious.
Perfect. So Marco has just taken the peppers out of the oven, and again, just a lovely char on the outside.
And then we just slice it and we're ready to eat it. Look how beautiful it is. All the colour, you know. This is the Italian flag all of us, I'm cooking with. Red,
you know. And I noticed you went for red pepper and yellow pepper.
Yeah.
Is that because they're sweeter than a green pepper and it works better?
No, I just choose... Actually, I choose them for the colour.
Okay.
But I think on this recipe, you can use pretty much any pepper. You know, Patron peppers. This is the one we want to use for the sweetness. But it doesn't matter the colour, really. I'm just going to go and clean the char. Yeah, you see, it comes away... Look. So easy, yeah? Like that, you just clean it. It literally comes out like that. Look, bam, see? Pretty cool. Take the seeds and the inside away, set aside. Like that. And do the same with the other one. Take the clean it. Pretty cool, huh? Comes away, all easy. You have to let it cool down a little bit, you know, because otherwise, but it's fine anyway. Off you go. This goes in the bin. Huh? How cool is that, though?
Yeah.
It's like, it just cooks in seconds. So, now.
And just out of interest, obviously, you've chosen to use capers, parsley, and then olive oil.
Yeah, but olive oil as if it was raining on it. So it's raining olive oil on this dish, okay? Don't be shy, put loads of olive oil, good quality olive oil always.
So, I was just interested then, if you can't get a hold of parsley or perhaps you prefer a rapeseed oil, that type of thing, could you use other herbs?
Yeah, this is a recipe you can freestyle, come on, you can put anything, yeah?
Okay.
You know, this is the... traditional kind of Mediterranean style, okay? This is, you know, olive oil and capers is, you know, and parsley is as Mediterranean as you get. Yeah. But you can freestyle, yeah? You know, by any means, you know? And perhaps even doing, is beautiful to do like with an aubergine. It takes a little bit longer, but you know, and then you scoop the inside. It's like baba ganoush, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can use any, you can freestyle.
So the carnivore in me is saying there's no meat. So if you had to pair or put some meat with this,
yeah,
what would you go for? Perhaps some nice cured Parma ham or?
No, this is even, this is a nice, it's grilled vegetable, basically what we've got here. So any steak, it goes well with anything, okay? Pepper is a little bit heavy, but but even with some fish, you know, you can pair, it's very nice. This is a starter, you can eat with anything, this. I think, just thinking about it, perhaps even a little bit of pancetta, grilled pancetta on it would go well. But this one is, you can pair it with anything.
Perfect.
Shall we go and slice, eh?
Oh, it looks absolutely amazing.
Jody.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Making a mess of
himself.
Yeah. So the capers as well. Yeah. Mm.
What do you think, Jody?
You can taste the chili in it. It's definitely got a kick to it.
I can see by your eyes watering. Yeah. That reminds us to.
I didn't get chili.
Dan, what's your thoughts?
Beautiful, very, amazing. Very versatile. I can imagine lots of different things you could pair that with as well. If you didn't want it as a starter, it'd be a great side dish. And be fantastic with something like steak. Absolutely beautiful.
That is the first cook done. We're now kind of setting up for the next cook, which is going to be a smoked salmon. Stay tuned and we'll talk about the next cook.
So Jody, thanks for having us here and doing all the cooking. How did that first cook go with Marco?
The one that we had just now, it was amazing. So he cooked some peppers, char grilled on the embers of the oven. And then he put capers in there, garlic, parsley, chilies, which I found out. I got a mouthful of chili. It was really, really good. Really spicy, tangy, flavoursome. I'll definitely be trying that next time I have a barbecue.
Great. And we also did some breakfast cooks as well before Marco came along. Did you want to talk about those and any tips or tricks that you learned from us there? Because I know you were quite interested, particularly in the frittata we put together.
Yeah. I'd never seen a frittata before. So, as you know, we just kind of winged it, didn't we? We all rocked up this morning and thought, right, we're going to make some breakfast. So we went down to, you went over to Lidl's, didn't you? We bought all the eggs, bacon, sausages. And actually, Jess, who works here, can't eat gluten. So we did, or you guys made it so that it was gluten-free. So you had gluten-free sausages, bacon, muffins, which she didn't have, avocado, and then for frittata, eggs, cheese. And we cooked it all on the Kamado, the monolith Kamado oven. So we had a baking tray that you did the frittata in, fried up some onions on there, scrambled eggs with cheese in it, and then potatoes you put in there, and then separately you grilled. Oh, so you took all of the meat. I mean, you took all of the sausage meat out of the skins, didn't you, and made burgers, like patties out of them.
Yeah, so I got the fun job of trying to take 10 sausages out of casings and trying to make up some patties. But we've kind of already mentioned it's a good way to start the day, cooking breakfast over fire. Certainly gets you going. I think obviously today it would be really good because, you know, we've now been working with you and you've been, you know, very much part of the podcast for the last couple of years now. We were down here a year ago and we did some videos, but I think AOS has kind of, you've moved on over the last year as well, haven't you? You've got lots of new brands that you're working with, so it'd be good to kind of hear about what's kind of been happening and what's going to happen for the future.
I guess like the whole outdoor industry as a whole has just got bigger and bigger, and obviously outdoor kitchens are a big part of that. So lots of people are since lockdown spending their money on their gardens, spending more time in their gardens, garden rooms, you know, new patios, landscaping, and really going to town. So the garden is now, you know, a proper extension of the home. It is another room that people want to spend lots of time in. So outdoor kitchens are a big part of that. So, you know, in the last year, we've now taken on like Sun's pergolas. So, you know, like the aluminium louvered pergolas, which just enable you to sit outside all year round. They've got sides that can come down. You can put heaters in there. loads of different sizes, so you can have dining areas and your kitchen area, chill out areas, hot tubs, all sorts. So those have become really, really popular. We've recently just taken on Traeger as well. So that's really exciting for us, because I've always been a fan of the Traegers, the pellet grills. I really, but they've never made one that was able to be built into a kitchen. It was always, they're always on trolleys. So they came out with the new Timberline series, which are made for outdoor kitchens. So even though they are still on a trolley, and actually Traeger have designed it so that you would almost like roll it in, it would stay on the trolley and Traeger would roll it in. We've got some here now, and we've just completely taken it apart, and we figured out a way now to build it in properly, which is like, that's really cool for us. That we love doing stuff like that. So it was myself and Vitesse downstairs pulling it apart, taking the trolley out, and then we've built a new display downstairs, which is currently off being sprayed now, and we'll be getting that back soon. We've got some polished, really thick polished concrete worktops that are going to be going in there, and the Traeger is going to be sat inset on top of the worktop. So when you look at the front of the kitchen, all you're going to see is like cedar battening along the top, and the Traeger is going to be sat inside. So we're really excited about that. As far as I'm aware, I don't think that's been done anywhere so far in the world. And I've just done a quote and a design for a customer. He will be the first person, and I think he's really keen to go ahead with it. He will be the first person to have one in an actual kitchen built in. So I'm excited to see that when it comes.
And sort of continuing to talk about Traeger, and I know there's some other brands that you'll probably come on to in a second, but since you've been doing this, and you know, over the last sort of 12, 18 months, are your customers more interested in that kind of pellet grill, the kind of I suppose the convenience of Traegers, because they are super convenient, super easy to use, even for the most basic beginner.
Yeah.
Are you starting to see that there is a bit of uptake?
I've generally found, so our customers are generally homeowners. They're not, but I mean, don't get me wrong, we have customers who are barbecue nuts and they love it and they know about Traeger. Some of them have had Traegers already. But mainly our customers don't know about them. So they'll come in here, and they won't know what a Traeger, they won't know what a pellet grill. And once I explain it to them, you know, they're like, ah, that's amazing. So obviously you have people that love playing with fire. So the Kamado oven, something like that, is brilliant for them. But people who don't have much time, they like the convenience. They love the app and the technology. Yeah, Traeger is going to be really, really good for them. But because it's brand new for us, you know, we haven't put any in of our kitchens yet. So it will be interesting to see how the customers react to it.
I got a question that I don't think we covered last time we spoke. You design so many different kitchens, you have access to so many different kind of products that you can put in. If you were designing a kitchen for yourself, what would you want in there? How would you like it to look? And let's say that it's in a dream garden, right? So you don't have to think specifically about your current area. What would you put in it?
Yeah, you swine. It's so tough. I like different aspects of all different ones. So in terms of cooking, I've always been charcoal. So I would have 100%, I'd have a monolith in there. But I'd have the Le Chef, like the bigger one. I think I would have a Traeger there as well. Even though they do the same thing, I just like that. I'd like to be able to just chuck it on, disappear all day and be able to, you know, mess around with it on my phone, on the app. I would have a pizza oven, definitely. And I was always obsessed. I would have wood fired only, but now actually having used the gas pizza ovens, I would probably get a dual fuel one. Yeah. That would probably do me for the appliances. I love the burnout kitchens are amazing. I do really, really like them. But they're a definite unique style. They're very modern. They're very contemporary. So that definitely wouldn't work for my house, for example. I think I would probably have something built out of red brick. I like that. I like the red brick. I like the black, the dark granite worked up. I like that combination. I saw is it the Chelsea Flower Show? And I saw a reel or a video of a kitchen garden that someone had done up there, and it was all like reclaimed bricks, and it had a glass canopy over it, planting everywhere, sort of herbs and things on shelves, and it just looked, and that was right up my street, sort of fairy lights, festoon lights and things like that. I can't remember the name of the guy, but it was absolutely incredible. So something like you know, where you walk through your garden, walk through like an archway, you know, like a trellis archway, so you can't see it from the house. You walk through and then you're in a completely different zone of like your kitchen. And that's like my sort of dream, I think.
The other thing I've seen more recently, I'd say probably over the last year, is what I'd call almost hidden kitchens, where there's like a door that people would have across and you wouldn't even realize it was an outdoor kitchen until they do the reveal, as it were.
Yeah.
What's your views on that? Because for me, I would love an outdoor kitchen that you can constantly see all the time and almost feels like a focal point.
Yeah.
But some of those with this like kind of sliding door or bit that comes up, have you worked on many of them and what are your views on them?
Oh, I see. So something that you can sort of shut down for the winter. Yeah, it's a different kind of kitchen, isn't it? So that has its advantages that, you know, you can cook on it when you want to and then shut it down, keeps the weather out, and that's that. If, like you say, if you want it to be part of the house and the garden, then you don't want that. Then you can just put a shelter or something over it. We've done one, I think. We did one up in London, actually, and it worked really well because the shelter, it was about 3 meters long, but it wasn't very deep. It was only about a meter deep. And when you shut the doors, the bifolds we used, it just completely blanks it off. But it was a tiny little part. So obviously like real estate garden in London's, you know, hard to come by. So this took up quite a small part of the garden, but it was still sheltered so they could still use it all year round without taking up a lot of space with a pergola or something like that, you know. So they're good. They work for some people, but not for others.
Great. Thank you very much, Jody. Always good to catch up. And again, even in this episode, we're going to still bring you some more of the cooks that we're going to be doing today. So no doubt we'll catch up again.
Yeah, definitely.
If you've been looking or thinking about an outdoor kitchen, then look no further than AOS Outdoor Kitchens.
They are the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.
Their extensive showroom is based just outside Bournemouth on the Dorset-Hampshire border, and as well as numerous in-store displays, also features a live outdoor kitchen where they cook every week on Kamado grills, pizza ovens, and all filmed and shown on YouTube.
They offer a wealth of knowledge on how to transform your patio into the most incredible outdoor dining area with styles and options to suit every budget, and you can guarantee they will be able to create something perfectly suited to you and your home.
They stock and supply everything that you're going to need for outdoor cooking, including barbecues, Kamado ovens, pizza ovens, outdoor fridges, and every accessory that you would need to become the ultimate outdoor chef.
So if you want to make yourself the envy of your friends and neighbours, get in touch with them today to arrange a consultation and take the first step in transforming your back garden into the most incredible entertainment space.
Visit aoskitchens.co.uk.
So Marco, you've talked about kind of the ease of this recipe, and I suppose it really shows the versatility of the Della Vita.
Yeah, of course. So, okay, look, people cooked clay oven, you know, who's clay oven, cooked food with clay oven for many centuries, okay? It's not an invention. The technology, in fact, inside of the oven is ancient, okay? What we did with we used modern material on the outside, and made a modern product for you know the modern family. But the truth is, the oven inside, it's an ancient technology which hasn't improved because it works. And people cook a delicious recipe all the time. So it's not just for pizza. You can cook anything.
And what was your inspiration for this? Because what is it, 5 ingredients total?
For this recipe, you mean?
Yeah.
So the inspiration for this recipe, is basically, I always love fish. I was born by the sea. And fish is, my favorite thing to cook and to eat. And you know, I love to cook this recipe.
So in total, how long would this take for people?
Oh, this recipe, okay, is everything. So everything I cook and everything you cook with the Della Vita is not a perfect science. It's a bit of a kind of feeling, smell. This recipe, I would say about 20 minutes in the oven. Let me, as we speak, I'm just going to turn. Yeah, nice. Yeah, like that.
So people who are first cooking this salmon dish, what should they be looking for as the kind of the clues and signs that it's ready to come out?
Now, look, salmon is quite quick, you know, it's not going to be too long. Depending how big is your salmon, depending on a lot of things, but the color obviously will give you you know, it's the eye, you know, the eye. Also, when, you know, like just little incision in the center, you know, create an incision, see if it's still raw or, you know, you have to keep cooking it. But with the heat of the oven in about 15 minutes, I guarantee you, you know, now depending how big this is the salmon, but you'll be cooked, let's say. Here we're using 500 grams, okay? So we have two slices, 250. 15 minutes is more than enough.
I suppose it's a great fish alternative for the festive season as well, which is part of the reason why I wanted to showcase it today.
Absolutely. This is a great, great recipe to do, you know, in the festive, you know, festive time. Salmon is one of the favorite, I think, in the UK. And yeah, so great dish for Christmas to celebrate.
Maybe it's something we should get Owen to try just to see if he will finally actually like fish for a change.
I agree too as well, and then we'll see. There is soy sauce and honey, you know, there is some flavor there. So the fish is not, I think he might like it, you know, hopefully.
Can't wait to see it finished. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Jody, this is obviously a dish that Marco is creating here, but salmon, is that typically something that you would have at Christmas?
No. I don't think I've ever had salmon at Christmas. Like we're always turkey, beef, something like that, maybe pork sometimes as well.
Sorry to interrupt. This you don't have at Christmas. This you have on the day before Christmas. Like fish,
Christmas Eve.
Italy, yeah. You eat, or in the world also, in Italy, because it's religious tradition, but even if you're not religious, let's say,
yeah.
You know, Christmas Eve is tradition to eat fish.
Yeah,
around the world.
Yeah,
and this wouldn't be Christmas Day; would be Christmas Eve.
Right, got you.
And with the types of flavors that you're using, obviously soy sauce, honey, lemon. Again, is that typical of the time of year? Yeah, would you traditionally have that?
It smells of Christmas in here. You know, if you taste this, it's a really Christmassy recipe. This one, ma'am.
It's well documented that I don't particularly like fish, but the look and the smell of this salmon, it would be crazy not to give it a try. Right, so here we go then. Let's give this...
The man that doesn't like fish.
Yeah. Oh, it's nice and flaky, which is what you want. Yeah. I think because of the soy and honey, kind of takes that fishiness away from it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
More than I thought I would.
Great.
Would I have it?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Fine,
I don't think I could eat a whole fillet, but as a
I'm taking it personally.
Yeah, please, Marco, don't take that personally.
But it's tender. Need to get the sauce with.
Would you sort of squeeze some of the lemon on top, or does that kind of add to the flavor?
No huge lemon, too much. But people would.
Yeah.
Not me.
Yeah.
But something else you can do in this recipe is putting.
It's gorgeous. Mm. I love kind of the stickiness as well that the honey gives it.
Mm.
So fleshy.
I bet the skin would probably be amazing. Mm. But I'm not a huge lover of squeezing lemon, because lemon is amazing on even on meat.
Yep.
People in Italy, usually, I'm not a huge fan of that. This is certainly you would do on this recipe, not only after, but even while you're cooking. So you would squeeze those wedges in and then put them inside, where I just put them, you know, to kind of flavor.
So that was amazing. That was really, really good. So again, a really quick, a really simple recipe. You could do this midweek when you get home from work. Again, in the Delavita, in the wood-fired oven. So Marco, thanks very much.
So that's the second cook done, and honestly, you can't take my word for it. That salmon was really good. I'm just not the best judge, but I would definitely give that a go yourself. Just before you quickly kind of start this last recipe, you've just mentioned off air that this is something you haven't cooked before. So what are we doing for the final recipe?
So the final recipe is pastry. We're going to do little cakes, you know, Christmas kind of festive.
Yeah.
Little cake. Kind of cakes in the muffin tin. We're gonna do it. Then we go inside. We're gonna put cranberry sauce, brie, and then we're gonna top it up with pistachio to give a little bit of a crunch to it. All being well, is going to be delicious. But
I'm sure it will. I'm sure. Like it will. Said,
I've never done it. I'm confident. I think we can do it. And we all the challenge here, we're going to do in the clay oven. Okay. So it's not really we can regulate the heat, but luckily I know what I'm doing with the oven. Yeah. and we should be fine. Yeah.
So on that point with the oven, I suppose if you're cooking pastry and things, normally you'd want to keep the temperature quite consistent and low.
Fairly low, yeah.
So how do you plan to kind of battle that with an oven that typically you would cook in 300-400 degrees?
Yeah, that's the challenge. But the thing is, like, you know, like I was explaining, you know, people cook delicious recipe for many centuries in clay ovens. And the technology inside has stayed the same. Yeah. So we're just using that. And we're going to use our smell, the feelings, you know, we're going to keep turning the tin and hopefully we'll get a good result. It's not a perfect science, oven, okay? But we can have about 200 degrees Celsius in there.
And would you then almost, you were saying about turning the tin and kind of keeping it moving and that look and smell. Would you also then kind of almost bring the tin towards the edge of the door so that you're further away from the
if
heat?
You need to, you can have it halfway out, half of it out, and then, you know, turn, the, put the other half in. You know, you can do those little tricks. Yeah. This is how you use the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, again, really looking forward to these festive bites. Who doesn't love cheese, pistachio, and cranberry sauce? So, Marco, just whilst you're putting the pastry together, would you recommend, just as a time saver, to buy pre-made pastry, or really would you want to be making the pastry yourself?
You can make it yourself, but I mean, you can buying pre-made is very nice quality and it's easier, you know, especially in the festive time. People are so busy, it's just as good pre-made. Yeah. So I would buy it ready-made.
So that's it for another episode of the Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast. This was a special. We're down at AOS Kitchens with Marco from Della Vita, Jody from AOS, me and Dan. And we've just had a great day cooking a few Christmas recipes, some breakfast, and just really having fun spending time together. And that's really what barbecue is all about. As we mentioned earlier in the podcast, we don't know when we're going to be back with season 6. We're waiting on Dan to move, but we'll try and get back as soon as possible. And as ever, we'd love to hear from you. Please tell us what you want us to talk about for the next season. Check us out on all of our socials at Meet and Greet Barbecue Podcast. Make sure that you head over to AOS Kitchen's YouTube channel, where you can see some of the cooks that are featured on this episode of the podcast, and also check out Della Vita and their great range of ovens. And until next time, keep on grilling. Today's episode is brought to you by AOS Kitchens, the South's leading outdoor kitchen design and installation specialists.